give you a briefing about the institution?
All I know is it's a mental hospital.
For the criminally insane.
We take only the most dangerous, damaged patients. Ones no other hospital can manage.
You are hereby required to surrender your firearms.
We are duly appointed federal marshals.
But during your stay, you will obey protocol. Gentlemen, welcome to Shutter Island.
Marshal Daniels?
Doctor. So this female prisoner, Rachel Solando, escaped sometime in the last 24 hours.
Is she considered dangerous?
You could say that.
It's 11 miles to the nearest land and the water's freezing.
We don't know how she got out of her room.
Came back for a midnight round, she was gone.
It's as if she evaporated straight through the walls.
Okay, so this is Tamer. I'm here with the film fellas.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
I don't know why I said hello to myself. Moronic.
You're an egotistical prick.
You actually interrupted my hello, Tabor.
I'm sorry, would you like to say hello again, Lars?
Hello.
I'd like to say it better than the first time. Hello.
You messed up too, James.
Okay, we're going to be looking today at films for 2010. We're going to do a roundup of some of the great films, right from Black Swan to some of the more appalling shite that came out in the form of Night and Day. Henry, what did you think of 2010?
Well, the problem with 2010 was it followed a really, really good year for film, which obviously was 2009. There were so many great films that came
out. That's good math.
There were so many great films that came out in 2009 that, yeah, it was hard really to follow that act up. I mean, there were some good films out in 2010. Inception, Black Swan, True Grit, Kick-Ass, Shutter Island. I mean, that's a few of the ones which were really good. But it was difficult to find films that really got to the standard of what I saw the previous year. I think Shutter Island did. I really liked Shutter Island. That was my favourite film of last year. Scorsese, as usual, putting out a great film. Really, really subtle. Great storyline, great narrative, very well made.
I didn't feel that it was great. I thought it was really, really good. But it was... Scorsese has a habit of being much more original than that.
Original? I thought it was quite original.
Yeah, original.
What did you not find original?
Well,
about
the whole, you know, the twist thing and everything. I mean, you know, for people who watch the film, everybody's playing along with this guy. And it just draws too heavy a, you know, similarity to things like, you know, Fight Club or Sixth Sense.
Sorry, Fight Club and Sixth Sense. How did you find it similar to those?
Because basically you're being persuaded to believe one element. But then there's something off about this guy, and everybody else in his world seems to be interacting just a little differently, and the big reveal comes in the form of he's either dead, or no, this is an elaborate treatment to fix his insanity.
So you're saying that the twist in it was predictable?
Yeah. I sussed it out almost immediately. I actually leaned into my girlfriend, and I went, this guy's insane, and this guy's trying to help him. So all the people in this movie are going to be playing a role for the benefit of this guy. And that pissed me off. And the reason why it pissed me off is because I've got a good wealth of that experience in terms of the films that we've already seen that sort of capture that element,
yeah.
Right?
No, I totally get where you're coming
but
from.
But I did think, don't go crazy now, I do think it was a masterclass film because all of Scorsese's art. And it was well conceived, it was well developed, the plot was good, the acting was amazing. Everything about it looked good, but for
Jim,
me it just wasn't
Jim,
amazing.
Just a moment ago you mentioned that other kind of like twist films, like Sixth Sense. Do you actually think that Sixth Sense is a better film than Shutter Island?
No.
And why?
No. Basically, for the same reason I said that Shutter Island was awesome. Scorsese and Shyamalan, you just can't draw a comparison. They're too different, and Scorsese's too good. He's much better. He's like easy in the top three at the moment, you know, for directing. And I mean, he's sustained that for so many years, and he's produced so much high-caliber, awesome material. It's insane.
But
so I think Shutter Island, yeah, I mean, compared to Sixth Sense.
But Jim, do you actually think that Shutter Island can be compared to Sixth Sense and Fight Club as a twist film?
Yes.
Because, I mean, okay, so there's something in it that that isn't like kind of, they're not telling you outright, it's not handed to you on a plate.
Mm.
But is it really a twist film? Because, I mean, I've watched it more than once now, and I got more out of it knowing everything to do with the film rather than the stuff that was unbeknownst to me before.
I know, but what everybody's failing to realize here is I was under a different conception of what the film was going to be about. My preconceptions were different to what I got. What I got was a bit disappointing because I got it so soon.
Sorry, I just want to quickly interrupt there. I mean, you're judging the film basically on your preconceptions generated by a trailer. I mean, they had to market that film as a horror film because it was the only way it was going to sell, when in actual fact, it isn't really a horror film.
Well, did it really have to market itself as a different type of film? Shouldn't it have been more honest?
Strong enough to have been able to carry that vehicle.
Yeah, but that was the point. That was its strength, its predictability. Because I was the same as you. It got to about sort of the 40-minute mark, 30-minute mark, and I went, right, this looks sus. I can see the obvious twist here where it's... Oh, by the way, spoilers, guys. Yeah, if you haven't seen the film, don't listen to this podcast yet. Watch the film, then
that's
come
so
back
late.
To
it. That's such an essential hindsight.
Sorry if you've given anything away.
You know,
here.
If I reconsider this whole thing, I would have said that the spoilers are probably a lot in here.
But yeah, there are spoilers. But yeah, going back to my original point, I mean, the film was marketed as a horror film, so you thought... It was about that whole twist. But in actual fact, we're avoiding the main issue here. It wasn't about the twist. The twist was something completely superfluous. It was the main narrative, which was meant to hide the sub-narrative. No. The predictability was what made it good. It wasn't about, at the end of the day, the fact that it was all a ruse and he was actually crazy. It was the fact he made that decision right at the end of the film that he'd rather be lobotomized and still believe he was in this world than live with the awful truth of what actually happened to him. The whole film was about that decision that guy made.
But
and
you could argue conversely as well. I mean, someone who maybe wouldn't take such a detailed look on, you know, that underlying message, you could easily argue that this film was about a bunch of people in a high-pressure situation trying to salvage the sanity of a man who could make a real difference in the world.
Yeah, but they weren't the main characters. He was the main character. It was his
story. But it was at the virtue of the actions of those around him. Because at any point they could have interrupted that experiment and stopped it.
What?
But they let it continue to the extent that it did, yes?
But do you agree, though, that the main point of that film was the fact he made that decision? It was him coming to terms with his past, and he made that decision that he'd rather live in a fantasy world than deal with reality. He'd rather be insane than sane, because his sanity was so horrible to comprehend. That was what the film was about. And that's got nothing to do with whether you realised there was a twist or not.
To be honest with you, the twist and all the rest of it is fair enough. I'm saying, in terms of the way it was delivered, you can attach multiple meaning depending on your opinion and what you drew from the film as a whole. Is that, yes, I restricted myself going to this film by having preconceptions of it. And I was disappointed at a particular juncture in the movie wherein a twist is revealed. As a result of that, those things were overloading the good elements of it. And as such, I didn't attract as much meaning and as much depth, finite understanding of the ending as you have, because the way that I saw it was completely different. And when it comes to Scorsese, I'm very used to being, you know, fed information in a certain way, yeah? For this, it was a brave choice to introduce a twist and all the rest of it, and that's fine. And whether you agree or disagree, the twist was pivotal in the actual storytelling and the narrative of the film in order to get it to hit home right at the end. To make that point wherein that decision can be made for the main character that, yes, he'd rather this world than the one that he actually has to face, which is horrible and consequential. But you don't need to go to that extent.
You had to have that kind of level of realization and that message behind it. Otherwise, it becomes like Inception. It becomes a film that's got very good presentation, but ultimately the substance, that kind of sub-narrative, doesn't have that same strength, which is what makes Shutter Island great, and it's
so you thought Inception. You thought Inception wasn't as good as Shutter Island.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was brilliantly crafted. Which, funny enough, it is another great film of last year. Inception was brilliantly crafted. However, it didn't have the subtlety of that sub narrative.
Well, no, it was much bigger, though, wasn't it?
Well, no, that was the superficial elements. That was the whole epic feel to it. You know, the visual flair and everything. But I mean, we're straying a bit off topic here. For me, Shutter Island was a great film. I think it was my favourite of last year.
I get it.
I can't say anymore. Yeah.
You made compelling points. At times in this interview, I did think that perhaps Brown was going to get quite angry with me and maybe throw something. I don't know. He doesn't have much to hand. You could check
only my phone, and I need my phone, man.
So Shutter Island was film of the year for you, then?
For me, film of the year, 100%.
Excellent. Lawrence,
I don't know if it was the film of the year for me, but possibly one of the most enjoyable watches was Machete for me. I loved what Rodriguez did on the back of the fake trailer that he made for the Grindhouse. And I just thought it was an absolutely incredibly fun watch. And Danny Trejo, genius. He's not a good-looking man, but he does get to bed like four women in it. So I mean, hats off to the guy. I thought
four
it was great.
Extremely hot women as well.
That is true.
What was it? It was Jessica Alba.
A strangely hot Michelle Rodriguez, actually.
She was actually quite hot in that, I've got to agree.
Because she usually looks a bit too masculine, but she looked pretty damn hot in that, especially with an eye patch.
Oddly enough, I actually quite liked her in Resident Evil.
If they ever remake Alien, she would definitely be Vasquez.
Oh, yeah, man, definitely. I think it was the Vasquez thing. Though I didn't find her hot, so...
All right, Lars, so are we going with Machete as your favourite film?
As I said, I don't know if it is my favourite film. I mean, we've already talked about Shutter Island at length.
let's move on from that.
I did like that. That's all I'm going to say.
Shutter Island.
I thoroughly enjoyed Monsters. I think that hasn't been kind of viewed by the cinema going audience as much as it should have been.
Sorry, for those of us who don't know what Monster is, could you just give us a quick synopsis?
I can tell people what Monsters is, Adam. Yeah, no, that's actually Monsters Ball. I think we're actually talking about the Charlize Theron.
Brilliant, we've had two cock-ups straight away and we're not even 10 minutes in.
Are we on about Monster?
No, we're actually on about Monsters.
Monsters, before you go...
There's more than one and Charlize Theron's not in it.
Did you say earlier that you thought that that Rodriguez lived up to his Machete in terms of like what you saw in the trailers and things like that?
Yeah, I think for what he actually did with it on the back of the fake trailer, yeah. I thought he did a great job. So it was a little bit too political as far as the kind of the immigration and stuff in it, but the action in it was great. It was laughable and great.
And yet you had strong preconceptions about that based on the trailers and stuff.
But at the same time, I didn't actually have this argument with you about Shutter Island. Henry did. So I'm just saying,
people generally have preconceptions.
Yeah, but you can't judge a film on preconceptions, though. I mean, that's just the way the trailer's made. Oh, so many films I've seen with bad trailers.
Okay, James.
No, he hadn't. I was actually talking about the film Monsters, not Monsters Ball or Monster. Or Monsters Inc. or any other film.
All right, Lawrence.
If I
pressed you and said, "What was the film that you said everyone had to watch last year?" What would it be?
That's really tough. I'm not going to say Shutter Island or Inception. I'm going to say Black Swan. Actually,
excellent choice.
Good choice.
Yeah, I thought Black Swan was great. I saw it recently. I mean, it just kind of blew me away. Really. The performances, the direction.
Give us a synopsis for that?
Synopsis. It's the Darren Aronofsky's fifth kind of feature, I believe. Someone say if I'm wrong. I think it's his fifth.
Oh, no, fifth.
Yeah. Unit of silence to include the check.
Shame on us.
And, I mean, after what he did with the fountain and you know, kind of trying to get a particular look, like, right, as far as that, he's gone then back to dissecting people and kind of human psyche. And I think that, you know, what he did with The Wrestler, with Mickey Rourke, genius. And I think he's carried on with it and gone a little bit further into depth with Natalie Portman in The Swan.
Do you think he's got any chance of picking up an Oscar this year? Not Natalie Portman, who I think it's obvious to everyone is a sure thing for Best Actress, but do you think he's got a chance for Best Film?
I think the Oscar for Best Picture, definitely a contender. I'm not sure if the Oscar board are recognising him as a credible director yet. I mean, he wasn't nominated for The Wrestler, I don't think. Again, prove me wrong.
Oh, man, we ship with the facts, man.
I think Henry's actually going to look it up now, so he's going to prove whether I'm a
dick. Our producer is shaking his head and so smiling while looking at other things on his phone.
I believe you asked me what the Black Swan was about.
Yeah.
It's about Natalie Portman. She's a ballet dancer. It's, you know, kind of studying ballet in a New York ballet school.
I'm sorry, man. You've made that sound so dull. I've already fallen asleep.
How can something... Well, this is the point, though. How can something sound so dull but be so great in the end of it? On the face of it, yeah, it doesn't sound great, you know, when you say that kind of quite a minimum synopsis about it. But it... Go on, James. I know I'm looking at you.
No, yeah. I was just going to say that's a one hell of a touche to Tabor. and is mean blatant disregard for your feelings and just charging in there and going, oh, so bored. And then came back and went, you know what? It's amazing how something's so boring. You could just turn it to something so brilliant.
Yeah, thank you, James. I appreciate you kind of backing me up there. Yeah. But Tabor, I would like to ask you the same question. How would you describe Black Swan?
That's a very interesting. First of all, yeah, I have seen it.
So you should be able to describe it pretty well.
I would. First of all, I would say it's
in an exciting and stimulating way, Tabor.
Don't talk about ballet.
I want jazz hands during this.
Right.
Also. Yeah, he hasn't been nominated for an Oscar yet.
Excellent. Okay. First of all, I would say it is...
Lawrence Batu.
I'm sorry, Lawrence. What did you say?
I'm just saying I'm right, generally.
Right. I would personally say that film was actually an accompaniment to The Wrestler. I would say it's a story about obsession. I would say, yeah, it is about ballet, but that is almost, it's a side issue. I mean, a lot of people.
So, hold on a second. Can I just confirm that you're talking about Black Swan here as about someone who's obsessed with ballet? Yeah, that sounds even shitter than my synopsis, man.
But it's irrelevant that they're obsessed with ballet. It's absolutely irrevelant that they're obsessed with ballet.
Apart from the fact that I was starting my synopsis about the film. I was going to talk about the film in, like, its totality, not, like, I was entering into discussion there, and you, like, jumped in saying I was boring and stuff, and it's not on.
And it's not even it wasn't even really designed originally to be about ballet. I mean, it was meant to be set on the New York theatre circuit, you know. So the ballet issue is almost perfunctory, you know.
So you're agreeing with me, Henry. It's more about perfunctory.
I'm agreeing with you. I hope I just said it better than you, though.
But I actually asked you to...
I want to move on.
Adam, I actually asked you to describe it without mentioning ballet. And the second thing you said was ballet. Obsessed with ballet. Ballet, obsessed.
All right, no, I said it was about obsession. And it is about obsession. It's about perfection. It's about the relationship between a director and a pupil. And you have to wonder whether or not the relationship that Aronofsky had with Natalie Portman was the same relationship that Vincent Cassel had with Natalie Portman. I'm not, of course, insinuating that Darren Aronofsky and Natalie Portman had any kind of sexual relationship, but that obsession, that kind of beating down of a person to the point where he was just trying to get a perfect performance out of her, and that's what that was about. But she wanted that for herself, and of course you've got the whole issue with the mother and daughter, the mother projecting her own wants and her own desires onto her daughter and her taking that forward.
Can I just say, yeah, that when you asked me originally what it was about, I had started, and that was my entry into describing what the film was about. But as soon as you've just, like, talked about it at length now, there's probably no point in me...
I'm sorry, dude.
Thanks, I'm going to go.
Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan is a masterpiece. 4 stars, an instant classic.
My daughter, the Swan Queen.
Just want to be perfect.
Mesmerizing and brilliant.
Attack it! Attack it! Come on!
It establishes Natalie Portman as the actress of her generation.
What happened to my sweet girl? She's gone!
And makes her an instant leading contender in every Best Actress race. Black Swan, rated R, in select theaters December 10th.